I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. We are here for another hour, and we're closing in on 24 hours till kickoff. We will have the game on the score, the Westwood 1 call of it, which Mike Golic Sr. will be doing analysis for. So we are very happy to have Golic here with us on the score, talking about the Bears and the Packers. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Golic, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you picking up the phone.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so are we. I gotta say, though, as longtime score guys, like me and Lawrence have been around here for a long time. We both started as interns, you know, and producers here in the 90s. I hear your name, and I hear your voice, and I think of all the years you beat the hell out of us in the ratings in the mornings, Mike. So
I remember Greedy and I used to come and do live shows in Chicago. Chicago was actually our very first affiliate. We only had Chicago when Greedy and I started the show, and I remember coming there for remotes, and people lined up at, like, you know, 4:30 in the morning to get in. I was like, what are these people, nuts? But man, what a great town to come to.
Yeah, and it's crazy, too, when you talk about, like, the history of our radio station. Like, I'm on the line of succession of Bears reporters after Greeny left to go work for ESPN.
Yeah.
So,
it goes to show you how old we are, me and Greeny.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we're here, I was doing a morning show on Sporting News Radio, Mike, and I was, like, alone with one producer. I was solo with one producer going up against Mike and Mike. That was not fun. So,
listen,
damn you.
Forgetting even going up against Greeny and I, doing a show alone is unbelievably hard. That's something I never had to do in my 30-some years of broadcasting, and I'm kind of happy I never had to.
Yeah, no, understood. But I got to tell you, all that to say, props for the transition you have made. You're an excellent color analyst on games, right, Lawrence? Like, we have both enjoyed hearing you, Mike, during the course of some of the games we've gotten to hear.
No, I appreciate that. I've been doing that for, God, since 2004. Actually, when I first got to ESPN in 95, I did it for a while and then took a break when my kids were young and then started it again. So I love doing games. I love it. I love being part of the game. I love being at the game, on the field, before the game. It makes me feel like I'm still involved without having to ice down on the day after the game.
No doubt about it. When you got the assignment for this one, what was your first reaction?
Oh, I looked at the weather and how cold it was going to be, because I live basically in Arizona now. My blood is thinned out. I have a house at Notre Dame, so I still spend a lot of time there, and the weather's basically the same in South Bend it is in Chicago. But yeah, I'm not kidding you. It's the first thing I looked at. I said, okay, what's the weather? What kind of jacket do I have to bring?
What's it like to play in that stuff? Like, we've been talking about it. Lawrence says the field might be gazpacho, so it could be all kind of sloppy, and there's going to be a lot of wind as well. What's that like?
I mean, understand what I played in on my son Mike and I show on FanDuel Sports Network today. We had Tom Thayer on, who Tom Thayer and I, he's obviously the voice of the Bears on radio. He was a teammate of mine at Notre Dame, and when he was with the Bears and I was with the Eagles, we played against each other in the Fog Bowl. So we kind of know what bad weather is when you can't see your basically your opponent. So I played in basically everything. And listen, if it's a mutter game, that certainly favors Chicago because of their running a game.
Yeah, we were talking about that too. How would you describe the kind of evolution of their run game? The guys that they brought in free agency, the evolution of Darnell Wright at right tackle, and what it's turned into for the Bears as a run game?
Well, I mean, listen, Darnell Wright's the only returning starter, right? You had three left tackles. Now you got the rookie Trapillo in there. But really, the interior of that line, Tooney, Dahlman, and Jackson, all coming, you know, one coming from the Rams, one coming from Atlanta, one coming from Kansas City. How quickly they have gelled. And you know, people always talk about the quarterback's blind side and getting hit there and how devastating that is. Quarterback tape. Pass rush up the middle more than anything else because they can't step up in the pocket. There's a lot of garbage by their feet. And these three in the middle have done an incredible job in the run game and the pass game. Just everybody knows the stat. Caleb Williams was sacked 68 times last year. Now, more than a few of those were on Caleb, holding the ball too long, running backwards. He has certainly grown in the position in getting rid of the ball, but the protection in front of him has been such an improvement.
And they work together, the line and Caleb and that middle of the offensive line, like you're talking about, Mike. It was obviously their concerted idea to go out and spend all the money and all the assets at it. I think truthfully, because they wanted to give Caleb a chance to develop, because I think without him trusting the middle and staying there in the pocket, then he doesn't even have a chance. You don't have a chance as a team to see if he can develop. And he has developed during the course of the year, in large part because he's trusted it and he stays in there more, don't you think?
Well, yeah, the one thing last year, he would get happy feet because he was always under duress. And you want a calm quarterback in the pocket. Now, when he has to take off and put the cape on, he does that well. But you like quiet feet in the pocket. And one other thing, you know, you can have an excellent offensive line, but then what's their availability, right? The best ability is availability. We always talk about O-line combinations during the year because of injury. Tooney, 17 starts. Dahlman, 17 starts. Jackson, 17 starts. Wright, 16 starts. I mean, they've been there the entire season to be able to build that chemistry.
Golic, when we see this combination, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, I'd love to know what you think, what you see as the influence that Ben Johnson has had on Caleb.
Well, what Ben Johnson does such a good job at is knowing what the strengths are of the quarterback. Quarterback and offensive play caller, whether it's a head coach who calls plays or a coordinator, they meet the most out of anybody during the week, help set the game plan. And good coaches listen to players, and obviously players, if they want to get better, will take coaching. And I know Caleb Williams said in the beginning, he's like, I didn't think Ben Johnson liked me. And we know Ben Johnson could be a tough coach, tough to crack a smile until you get him to take a shirt off to get free food for everybody. But, you know, you learn to trust one another, and a coach putting your quarterback, knowing his strengths and weaknesses, putting him in the best position to succeed. That's the key.
Mike Golic is here with us on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. A 10th round pick in 1985, plays more than 100 NFL games, 5 playoff games. When you think of your playoff experience, what do you think of in terms of the excitement and the difference that it is? Or did it feel different for you? We're trying to figure out what some of these young Bears who've never played in it are going to feel like tomorrow night.
Yeah, I played in 5-4. We lost the first round. 1, we won the wild card game against New Orleans and then lost to Dallas. And Dallas went on to win the Super Bowl. What happens is now, obviously, it preseason ramps up to the regular season ramps up to the postseason, because now it's winner moves on, loser. There's nothing worse than thinking you're going to move on and the next day you're cleaning your locker out. The abruptness of that really kind of makes your head spin. So what you really do now, you normally do pay attention to detail, but you really focus on attention to detail, attention to your assignment, especially if you're a young guy, because what you don't want is a game that win, move on, lose, go home. It comes down to your mistakes. You don't want to play scared. You don't want to play inhibited. You want to know your assignments and play mistake-free football. That's why there should be so much film watch and study during the week. So the less thinking you do on the field, the more productive you can be.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Ben keeps talking about the details and, like, over and over, the fundamentals and the details, and it starts to sound a little mundane, but the way you're saying it is maybe that's by design, that you make it mundane and you get all those details in you, so then you don't have time to freak out.
My dad played football, and he coached us in football. When I was in youth football, he would have me every night when I was, 10, 11 years old, get in a football stance, right-handed and left-handed, 50 times in front of the mirror every night. Just get in the stance, get in the stance, get in the stance, get in the stance. Before we go to practice, I'd hit the blocking dummy. My dad would have one in the backyard. Step, hit, step, hit, step, hit. So it becomes so repetitious, you get bored with the repetitions, but you understand you need to do it without thinking. You don't want to think where you're stepping or where you're putting your hand. You want it to everything to come naturally. You want to be able to study your playbook, your game plan so much that if it's third and 4-6, that you've read your game plan, you know what the number of plays they run out of that down and distance, the formations they run out of that down and distance. So when you see a formation, you now can X out, okay, they're not going to run this, they're not going to run this, they're most likely going to run one of a few things. You can deduce things, and you could slash things off the list. That's all from study. That's all from studying a game plan, studying film, knowing the person you're playing. And like I said, when all these players reach the NFL at young ages, they all work on their fundamentals.
Mike Golic is going to be on the call for Westwood One tomorrow. You'll be able to hear that here on The Score. What version of the Packers do you think they are now? Because they have been through quite a roller coaster this year.
Well, I mean, listen, the defense obviously is struggling. There's no doubt about that. What, weeks 1 through 14, 6 fewest points they gave up, 5th fewest total yards, then Micah Parsons gets hurt. They're 0-4 after he gets hurt. They're allowing 170 yards on the game. That's a plus for Chicago, which that's worse than the NFL. They had just 3 sacks in their 0-4 after Micah got hurt. That's worse than the NFL. So Jeff Hafley, the D coordinator, he has to scheme up pressure, right? It used to be Micah Parsons who had a ton of pressures, a ton of double teams that freed up other linemen. Now they don't have that anymore. And Rashawn Gary, the other pass rusher, all his sacks came in the first 7 games of the season when Micah was on the field. So they have to scheme up rush a little more to put pressure on Caleb Williams. So it has definitely changed.
Yeah, so as they scheme up rush and they're moving around a lot, does that make them susceptible to running right at them?
Well, not really. What the deception, the disguise you're trying to do is basically you're trying to confuse the offensive line. You put 6 or 7 at the line and you're going to rush 4, but you try not to have the offensive line know which 4 are rushing. You try not to give it away. Now, to your point, could the guys dropping off drop out and then you run right in that position? That certainly can happen. But you'll see more disguising and pass rush on notable passing downs than you will on running downs.
What is the feeling for you as a defensive lineman, Mike, when an offense is just running the ball again and again and again and they really start to wear you down and you can tell how confident they are? What does that feel like?
It's the worst feeling in the world. And I was more of a run stopper. In 9 years in the NFL, I had 11 and a half sacks. people call that awful. I call the consistent about 1.5 sacks a year. it's all your perspective, right? But I wasn't a great pass rusher, but I could play the run. Getting run on is the worst way for a defense to get beat. Because not only are you getting beat, you're getting the ball controlled on you, and you're getting physically handled. In one of the most, if not the most physical sport out there, especially on the line of scrimmage, D lineman and O lineman, that is just a one-on-one competition, right? The O-lineman's trying to move me. I'm trying to not only not have him move me, but I'm trying to get off his block and make a play. It's the ultimate physical battle. And when you're getting run on, that means you're getting your ass kicked and losing the battle.
Oh, God.
Jordan Love did a number on the Bears before he got hurt the last time they played. He was really good at identifying the matchups. When the Bears went into man, they really struggled. So if you're the Bears, what are you going to try to do to make it look different? And if you're Jordan Love, I'd love to know what you think about him as his career continues, of where he is now and what's left for him to get better at.
It's amazing. You look at his first 3 years as a starter and Aaron Rodgers' first 3 years as a starter in Green Bay, and they're almost identical. Jordan Love can play great. He can be inconsistent, but he can play great. So I really like the way he plays. Josh Jacobs, a good running back. They don't really have the number one receiver, right? All the receivers have had their issues with injuries or lack of touchdown. Christian Watson, the biggest threat on the field for them. But they lost their best receiver early in the season and Tucker Kraft, the tight end, to an ACL in week 9. Now, you can look at it two ways. You can say, do they really have a number one they count on? Or do they have 3, 4, 5 guys they can count on, which makes it a little more difficult for a defense to zero in on anybody because Jordan Love can spread the ball around. But as we know, it's obviously not a secret, the takeaway ability of this Chicago defense. They're statistically the worst defense in the playoffs, but they soar far ahead in takeaways, in a ball hawking on interceptions, punching the ball out on fumbles, that, you know, you do wonder, do you say, how much can you live on that if you don't get an interception? Are you giving up yards? Are you giving up points? Are you banking on the turnover? It's tough to do week in and week out, but they've been able to do it.
Last thing for you, Mike. What was it like to practice against Randall Cunningham? I have to ask.
Oh, well, luckily, you know, while there's less hitting today in practice and in games, you still, when I played, you couldn't hit the quarterback, right? Quarterback always had a red jersey on. So it was great playing against Randall because I just ran by him and I acted like I would have had him because I'm not allowed to touch him. So he would just run away and I would say, oh, I had him, you know, knowing full as well, I didn't have him. But yeah, I mean, we weren't allowed to hit him. So it's not like you could really gauge a pass rush on him, but he was unbelievable as an F. He had one of the strongest arms from the pocket and just was an unbelievable athlete. He would have fit perfectly in today's game.
Right? That's why I asked.
I believe they call that a vet move, what Golic pulled off there.
Oh, that's without question. Move. Yeah, without question. Yeah.
Golic, we really appreciate this. This was tremendous. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great call with Ryan Racky, who's fantastic on play-by-play tomorrow.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Weezy drunk?
That is fantastic.
Oh,
Dan Weider.
Weezy.
Oh. Dan Weider.
We'll mention this mainly because Dan Weider said we would mention this nugget.
Bears beat reporter for The Athletic.
How do you handle your Saturday morning, your early afternoon? You've got so much lead up until kickoff. How do you pace yourself? How do you release your energy?
Personally?
Yeah.
I get a good workout in. And you try to get a little sleep, a little rest. Like I said, a workout for the coaching staff normally is a good thing to get the blood flowing a little bit and, maybe watch a movie or something like that.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Cole, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
What is your music?
I'm not a huge, like, if you start playing certain specific artists, I'm no fan of, all due respect, but I'm not a huge Weekend fan, so.
Okay.
We'll get our Weekend playlist ready for him when we go back in there after Thursday and Friday.
No, the Weekend. No to the Weekend.
Dan Weider.
Man, you guys are good on Fridays, aren't you? You phrase the questions a little bit different.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is great to be able to talk with Dan Weider. He joins us now courtesy of Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It's meant to be. He joins us on the Circa Las Vegas hotline. Circa is the reason that we are here at Elk Grove Village at Real Time Sports, and we have had a blast here. We got another 30 minutes to kill it, and we are talking with Weezy. Okay, Weezy, let's get after it. You are Mr. Take the North. When you look at the way that the Bears have tried to process this week, what are the things that you've heard from them that lead you to believe that they're ready for what the challenge is tomorrow?
Well, I'll start here because I think that they have learned some lessons through the big games that they've played over the last 6 weeks or so. And it's been very valuable to them, I think, to have this sequence of big games really starting in Black Friday in Philly all the way up through the finale to understand how to kind of approach the energy of the games. And I think we all agree that the last time they played the Packers on a Saturday night at Soldier Field, they were maybe a little bit too amped up at the outset of that game. And the ability to kind of control those emotions to use them positively, but also then really dial in on the details leads me to believe that they have an understanding of what this is tomorrow night. And now you're going into a game that I think a lot of us see as a bit of a coin flip game. And it's going to be the team that makes the most big plays at the most opportune moments that survives past Saturday night.
Yeah, it's good stuff. They've played, I think, 6 games against playoff teams all after week 12, if I have that right. So it's a backloaded schedule in that way. And it makes sense in terms of the energy calibration and the way that you just described it. Also, just in terms of the quality of opponent and the intensity of a good team, doesn't it?
No question. And look, the last 4 games against the Packers this year and last year have all come down to the final play, essentially. And we know that that's probably going to be the similar dynamic that applies to Saturday night. And so now you just got to be ready, and you got to have your playmakers step up and make plays. Those can be the top stars on your roster, or they can be, as we've seen all season with these Bears, some guys that are just, lower profile guys that step up and meet their moments when they're there. And so this is it, right? Like this is the fun part. This is why everybody does this at this time of year. And we'll see what the Bears do to respond tomorrow night.
Do you expect that Kyler Gordon is going to play? And if so, how do you expect that he will be dispatched?
I 200% expect him to play. I don't know how they are going to deploy him and kind of how they're going to formulate plans, Lawrence, and then contingency plans, understanding that he hasn't played or practiced a lot of football here over the last several months. And so you're just going to have to be aware of that and set yourself up for success in that regard. You guys have heard me all year talk about my respect for this coaching staff and their ability to kind of understand who they are and who they aren't. That's part of the equation tomorrow night with this very specific part of that plot line.
Well, let's kick it around a little bit. What if, like Dave Wansett suggested to us yesterday, it's Kyler on third downs when you need him at the start? And then if he feels good, I could see him waving off Nick McCloud to come in and replace him if they want to stay in the nickel, or that kind of thing. Is that conceivable as one approach?
Sure. Yeah. And it's going to be fluid, you know, as you mentioned there, and that applies to Kyler, it applies to Rome, and you just have to be kind of aware series by series of what you need and what you're getting out of those guys and how they look. And so you just got to be flexible and adaptable on the fly to those types of things and understanding, you know, the ways that you won a game last month and the ways you lost a game last month. You lost a game because you gave up too many explosives and a few that really killed you. And you won a game because you were really good inside the red zone defensively. And so, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle together and find a way to go take your best swing tomorrow night.
Who does Tyreek Stevenson take snaps from if he plays?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how they decide to juggle that around. Not sure. I can't give you a direct answer there. I will say that it was refreshing, I guess, in a way to talk to Tyreek yesterday in the locker room to see him kind of being very mature and professional in his handling of whatever last week was and keeping himself ready for when he is needed. I give that kid a lot of credit with what he went through in 2024 for being able to kind of take that jump in maturity in 2025. And again, the way this season has gone, you never know who's going to be the guy that's in a big moment with a chance to make a big play. And that could be Tyreek tomorrow night.
What are the things? It's funny because here at Real Time Sports, you know, NFL Network is up and they played the first Bears-Packers game when we walked in, and now we're in the middle of the second Bears-Packers game. What are the things offensively from that second game that the Bears better make sure that they have corrected walking into tomorrow's game?
Yeah, I would ask them to fast forward that game you're watching now, you know, fast forward it another 45 minutes, get to that end as quick as possible because it wasn't all that pretty. I know Spiegs was there and he felt the energy dive, you know, after that very electric start. And then the Bears offense couldn't get anything going for three plus quarters. Their first visit to the end zone is in the final minute of regulation. And so, look, step one, get yourself off to a faster start. You have to feel an urgency about doing so. And they did obviously in that second game, and then they had the snap through the legs that didn't quite work the way they envisioned it working. And so capitalize on opportunities, get off to a fast start, because I think we're all in agreement that it's going to be electric there. The two previous experiences of Bears Packers where it's been like heightened electricity in that building have been followed by a Bears offense that does nothing for most of the football game. And so if you can keep that energy in the building by getting off to a quick start offensively, that's going to be there for you as an advantage. And I think another part of that, Lawrence, is just really leaning into a running game that's been pretty reliable all year against the Packers defense that's shown in recent weeks that it's a little vulnerable in that regard.
Forgive me, Dan, we've got a lot going on here. Did they make the roster moves they needed to make as of today to get Rome?
To bring everyone off of IR?
Yeah. Can you give us an update on that if you know?
They can do that tomorrow. So we would expect the Kyler bump to come sometime tomorrow and get that
news
officially.
And in terms of Rome, like who's that going to mean? Like I heard somebody mention Jahdae Walker. Like you're not taking Jahdae Walker off this active roster before tomorrow night, are you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to piece that puzzle together, and you're going to have to figure out who you need available to you on special teams. You're going to have to figure out, you know, what areas of depth are most important to you. And so there are some roster puzzle pieces that need to be assembled in the morning, and we'll get a little bit better idea of that as we lead up to kickoff. But that certainly would be a possibility because you do need to shore up all three phases in a lot of different ways tomorrow night.
Wow. How did they get away with a season where if it were a regular bear season that you were covering, one of the biggest stories that we would be talking about is the fact that three different people have played left tackle. Mm-hmm. How have they gotten away with this all season long where, and now it could end up being, you know, Braxton could end up back in the mix on this thing. How have they done this?
Because the three guys in the interior started every game and played like 98% of the snaps together, right? And that stability in the middle that we're not used to. I think last year, I think I counted it up. I'd have to redo the math. I think they had 10 guys start for them in the interior of the offensive line last year. And this year it's three, right? And so you've from, you know, left guard all the way over to right tackle, you've had continuity, you've had chemistry, you've had all the things that we talk about, the cohesion that comes with playing together. And that's been a big part of this. And then they've obviously kept working and working and working. And we've talked a little bit about Theo and Ozzy being really developmental success stories with this coaching staff sticking with them and helping them to be at a minimum functional as they kind of work their way up to being successful in that position. And so, you know, credit to everybody on that coaching staff and the players themselves for being able to do that, because that's not an easy deal, as you mentioned, to kind of have a revolving door at left tackle and still have the success that you've had.
Dan Wiederer wrote about how Ben Johnson woke up the sleeping giant this week on The Athletic, and then we'll see what's next. There's a couple great things in there. One is your description of Jonah Jackson's block as Frogger versus the semi on Mason Graham against Cleveland. I enjoyed that. But then the simple fact, and I know it's an extra game, but this team gained more yards than any of the previous 105 Chicago Bears teams. That kind of helped me think about just how remarkable an offensive season it has been. I'll ask you what we asked Matt Forte earlier in the week. What has been built? What has Ben Johnson built here that hopefully is sustainable?
Well, context asterisk to that number. Obviously, there's a 17-game schedule, and that increases the likelihood of breaking some records. But I think we all agree that we really haven't seen this offense at its peak form yet. And yet you see the spike in scoring, the spike in yardage production, their ability to get an identity and really formulate who they want to be and then put that play style on tape and use it to fuel their success. And so above everything else, I think this year was about sort of setting a vision and then putting an urgency behind it. And that's why Ben has been so successful, because he was very crystal clear with the vision he wanted set. And then he gave these guys both urgency and direction to go after it. And so I think as we go forward beyond the season, whenever it ends, you feel really good about the vision for this offense. And it starts, as we've talked about, with this running game and a coach who's so wedded to making the running game come alive, where everything else can play off of that, and so that you feel great that the roots of that are firm, right? And you can go into next season building off of that with an understanding that you did some things this year that nobody thought you were going to be able to do so quickly.
Caleb has obviously handled a lot of things, the change, the turmoil of the offseason to where he is right now. What did you think of how he's so far handled the week?
Yeah, well, the opportunity we had to talk to him was, I guess it would have been Tuesday. The weeks get all screwed up with these Saturday games. And I just sensed a comfort in him, right? Like that this isn't going to be a stage that's too big for him. Now, that said, going back to what we just talked about a couple minutes ago, you do have to do something in the first three quarters, right? Like, we all know how good you are down the stretch. We all know how good you can be when the game is on the line. But don't leave it up to that, right? Like, try to get this offense grooving early. Try to find your rhythm early. And I think that there was some rhetoric coming out of the building this week again about trying to find him that first completion in a way where it's like a shooter seeing the first one go in, trying to get that first down for the offense, where now all of a sudden they feel like they get rolling and they're on the on-ramp at that point. And so I think that fast start is a big deal here. But again, like, I think you feel great if you're a coach or any of the other players on the field with Caleb, that he's not going to be frazzled by any of this on Saturday night. It's just a matter of whether his performance is victory worthy. And that's, you know, what this is. This is sort of a final exam of all the growth that they've made throughout the last 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, we liked the idea of Caleb needing to see the ball caught with mm-hmm. one of those passes early on.
Shoot or shoot.
We all have our own comps for that. I forgot to mention in that context, Alex Kuhn usually holds the whiteboard on his own before he brings it in and holds it for Dave Wanstead. He likes to see the board held.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's very important.
It's very important just to know that that's going to get held very well. Dan, what does the weather mean? What is the possible gazpacho of the field and the wind in the air? What does that actually mean?
What's the latest you guys have on that? Because what I was seeing earlier today is that the more significant weather was going to be during the day, and that by the time we get to the night, it was just going to be a little bit cool and breezy. But is there any more in terms of the extra precipitation that might be there tomorrow night?
Yeah, we get 90% chance of precipitation during the course of the day.
And you add that to the pile of rain that we had yesterday and the condensation that we had yesterday. And then the temperature dropping. Like, that's why I said gazpacho.
Yeah, but I think we're also, you know, adding in – decades of experience of seeing the Soldier Field turf be a problem.
Bad. Yes.
But maybe that's been fixed more than we realize over the past couple of years.
It really has. It hasn't been an issue in the last several seasons, which is great. You know, my hope is that if there is weather, it's more for like the visual, right? You get some snow flurries on your TV broadcast and through the press box windows that make you say, yeah, this is January football between two charter franchises. You know, like, let's just set a scene here for the rest of the world that's watching this. And so that would be fun. If the elements start to impact the play, well, now you've got to start to look at two things that we probably haven't spent enough time talking about this week that are worth talking about. It's kickers and fourth downs, right? Like, and those yes. two things are going to come in to this football game, and nobody knows that better than Chicago. And so that's going to be a fascinating little subplot with not only both these coaches deciding when to go for it and when not to, but then the readiness of the kickers to be able to make big kicks when the big kicks are there.
It's a weird thing to like think about, but this Bears team actually is built in a way that the weather shouldn't bother them,
right?
Depending
right.
on how the game is called.
Yeah, no. Well, you've got a big-armed quarterback that can handle some wind. You've got a running game that you can lean on indoors, outdoors, summer, winter, whenever you want it. And yeah, you've got an opportunity tomorrow night to go, you know, put your strengths out there. And that's what I mean. Like, this is not a game where one team is supposed to win, right? It's like, who's got their best for 3 hours tomorrow night? That's what it comes down to. And that's the fun part of all of this, because you feel like you've got a fair chance. You've got your home field. You got your home crowd behind you. And now it's just like, you know, apply everything that you've done all season into this 3-hour test, and then let the results be what they are and deal with them from there. I think you guys are with me that it will be very unfortunate if they lose this game tomorrow, and what it will do at least temporarily to the mood in the city for what the season actually represents. But you know, that's life, and that's sports, and that's why we're paid to follow it as closely as we are.
I have one, I think, reasonable fear and one unreasonable fear
about
this game.
I'll judge that. Go ahead.
The reasonable fear is Josh Jacobs getting a week of rest.
That's reasonable.
And he is
good player.
He is the heart of their offense. And I say that mm-hmm. even with Jordan Love being their quarterback. He is the heart of their offense, and he's played a big role in cutting the heart out of the Bears.
Yep.
The unreasonable fear I have is Matthew Golden. They have not used him as much as they should have. He is, I think, really talented in a group of really talented wide receivers. Do you agree that one fear is reasonable and the other one is unreasonable? Both reasonable, both unreasonable.
Option.
I will flip your reasonable fear around on you and say that I think the fear in Green Bay is that Josh Jacobs needs a lot more than 1 week of rest. That knee has been a problem for him, that he hasn't looked like himself for a very long time, and I'm not sure that 1 week off will suddenly give him the, you know, magic pill that will make him look like his old self again. And so you go after that and you see what it looks like early on, and you hope that you're not getting the full strength Josh Jacobs. As far as Golden goes, obviously Dontavian Wicks has been declared out for tomorrow. It opens up more opportunity for another receiver. If I'm Dennis Allen, and knowing what I know, I really, really try to keep that top on the defense every way possible. You know, get whatever kind of shell looks you can give, or any kind of top on the defense looks you can provide to make Green Bay go the long way down the field every single time they have the football, the better off you're going to be. I think we learned that in the first game in Lambeau Field, that those explosives will kill you if you're not careful. And so anything you can do to neutralize those explosives and then lean into a red zone defense that helped you against Green Bay in the win and against Detroit this last Sunday, lean into that as much as you can.
Weedsy, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for being on the show. I look forward to all of the coverage that you're going to provide in The Athletic. And tomorrow's just going to be a blast, man. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I told you guys over text, you guys have done great all week. It's been fun to listen to. There's been a lot of great guests, a lot of good discussion. All of it's been fantastic. And I think we've all waited a long time for this. And so the fun of tomorrow should not be taken for granted.
Agreed. Let's lean into it, and why not the Bears? Thanks, Dan.
All right, fellas.
That is Dan Wiederer. He is terrific. I love talking with him.
Jaden Reed is the guy I have a fear about. That dude is fast as hell.
Their wide receiver core is really good.
I know. But, like, Reed is fast and really good on jet sweeps and stuff like that. And I picture him getting one of those Jameson Williams-esque shallow crossers and running past whoever's chasing.
I would like for if Josh Jacobs gets to the outside this time, I would like for guys to tackle him.
It's a good plan.
I mean, not just kind of,
yeah.
Don't just throw your arm.
You write that down. Tanny, did you write that down? I know it's late on a Friday.
He's not got anything down.
Okay.
No, yeah.
That's like, I was thinking about that this week, like all the missed tackles that we've seen over the years, especially this year against them. Like if I were Dennis Allen, that's what I'd say in my meeting room. I was like, you don't want to be in Cancun or Cabo with your wife or girlfriend saying, man, had only I wrapped up my tackle a little bit better, a little more efficiently, I wouldn't be here right now.
Having to turn away from sports center as it shows you missing a tackle for the 18th time.
Uh-huh. And them advancing while you're enjoying
kids nagging at you on vacation.
Why don't you make the tackle, Dad?
You know what? Being gone an extra month sounds pretty good.
Edith's down in Cabo is a great place to grab a meal. I'll tell you that much.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back live at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
That wasn't the warm send-off that we were...
That wasn't it?
That wasn't what we were talking about.
Hope nobody bought your damn cookie cake with the yellow slice of cheese painted on it.
Yeah.
Mariano's.
Are you a local business owner or an employee? How would you like to have your commercial aired during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score? Here is your chance. We brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Do this before you get caught up in the Bears game. Like, just go. 670thescore.com/contest. Deadline to enter is January 18th. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward.
Hey, catch the return of Connor Bedard tonight.
He's back, baby.
On the CHSN app. Subscribe now. Get a free 7-day trial. Really fun to be here at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Thank you to our friends from Circa Sports Illinois. Thanks to all those who came by, said hello, and registered to win the tickets that Lawrence gave out a little bit earlier in the show from Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. People are hanging. Ryan Porth is here with his kids.
Rosner was here up until a few minutes ago.
I don't know if he... Is he gone? No,
he's still here.
Still there. All right.
See?
He's around.
He does like people.
Yeah, he does.
Kind of.
Yeah, we help him. We help bring him
just
and people
not you
together.
Guys.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, just definitely
we
not
understand.
Us. That is definitely correct. Okay. So Common had the spoken word piece.
Yeah.
We played some of that yesterday. This may pull at your heartstrings a little bit, which is good on a Friday before Bears-Packers. These are some of what the kids had to say as the Bears get ready for their game against Green Bay.
Dear Kyle Manunga, do good in the playoffs and get as much touchdowns as you can. You're the best and my favorite. Love your best fan, Nora. Go Bears!
Love you too, Nora. Thank you. I've loved watching you all season, especially when you ran over the Packers. I gave our cat a nickname, Kitty Menungai, after you, because just like you, he is fast, strong, and relentless. Thank you for all you contribute to the team. Bear down from Grace.
Thank you, Grace. I'm honored to be named after your cat. I appreciate you guys.
Don't worry about them. Worry about you. You can always do it.
Yeah, okay. They got a motivational speaker right there on their hands. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. We will. We worry about ourselves. Nobody else. So thank you.
Good, better, best. Good, better, best. Never, never, best. Never, never, best.
Blah, blah, blah.
The good gets better. The good gets better. And the better gets best. And the better gets best. 3, 2, 1, bam!
I think that's good. That's kind of how it sounded in the locker room a little bit.
Let's go, Bears. Kick some butt in the playoffs.
It's Chicago.
Yeah!
Nah, that's crazy. I got, like, all the kids, they on the wave. They know what the movement is. It's always crazy just hearing everybody say it. I'm at the grocery store, people saying it, hearing the kids, like, when I'm coming off the field, like, yo, it's Chicago. It's just, it's wild.
That's a wrap. That's really beautiful.
That's beautiful.
That's courtesy of the Bears social media page, which, by the way,
they're killing it.
The Bears social media page has been killing it.
Absolutely killing
Absolutely
it.
Killing it for at least the last 3 months and pretty much all season long.
Man, they just showed just now, at this moment, as we wrap up the show, the Caleb Williams to DJ Moore touchdown to walk off the Packers a month ago on a Saturday night.
Is that an omen?
Right? They just showed it right now as we wrap up a week of programming, as we have broken down this game every possible way. There is a reminder of what is possible. A game that people will lie to their friends and family to say they were at for decades.
You were actually there.
I was actually there, but I will still lie about it just because it's fun to lie. I was closer than I was. Really, I was there with 19 other deep and good friends. We all took our shirts off. Like, all right, we didn't, but anyway. There it is, and they're showing the replay of it right now. They got one more magic bullet in them. They do. They got one more in them. And if they need it on Saturday night, they will get it. I got Bears 27-24. That's my official prediction as handed in to Cody Westerland.
All right. Does anyone know what Sean Sears picked?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer
He's
to that.
He's lost two in a row. So.
Oh. Ooh, so the bloom is off
Bears.
That.
All right. He picked the Bears, everyone.
Yeah, sorry, we're not Sean. Doing that. All right, for our engineer C, for Alex, for Tanny, for my partner Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you for the love and support you show the show every single day. We will do our best in whatever form it comes in on Monday to repay the favor. Here's hoping that it's celebration.
Yes.
Just remember, I am Janet.
Yes. Let's do it for all the Janets out there.
That's right.
Let's all be Janet all weekend long and on Monday. One gigantic, powerful Janet.
Thanks to Real Time Sports, the people here of Elk Grove Village. We appreciate them. Thanks to Barry Rosner for coming out and hanging out. We'll talk to you on Monday. Take care of yourself.
Go Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.